Well, good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. How are you this morning? It's the 13th of October, better known as Friday the 13th. But don't let that fool you. We have with no bad luck accepted here. We have a lot of money to raise in a short period of time to get to our lockbox total. We'll tell you about all of that in just a moment. It's what we're going to focus on today for our roundtable panel. We are obviously going to talk about issues. We're obviously going to talk about what's going on. We have a superstar panel lineup of folks to talk about the issues, but interwoven with all of that will be us trying to get to and succeeding, I believe, to get to our goal of $500,000 before the start of the fund drive on Monday morning at 6 a.m. All right, let me introduce everybody and then we'll get started. Teresa Bourgeois is here. I asked her at the end of yesterday's program. I said, Teresa, we love having you on, especially when we're talking about all the importance of supporting the station and interweaving that with all that's going on. And I asked you to come back and you said yes, and I thank you for that.
Delighted to be here to talk about the economics of the country and of the station, right?
That's right. Speaking
that was my lead-in.
Nice segue.
Thank you very much.
There we go.
speaking of economics, we have the Siena College economics professor. Again, probably not the only one, but the one that matters to us. Aaron Pasidi is here. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, everyone.
Very nice to have you with us. Also, joining us from the Dead Sea.
Not literally in the middle anymore.
Joining us, I don't think it matters. I'm going to tell people, but Rosemary sent me this very amusing note that said, "You can reach me at the Dead Sea Marriott," and I was like, "All right, well, that sounds cool."
Apropos of today's
it is very cool, and I wish we were on TV so you could see how I'm positively glowing after a mud wrap and a salt scrub. It's just so nice and healthy here.
We all just had mud wraps, too.
Yeah.
it's called our commute. We're very happy that you are here on this very special occasion.
I think that the listeners are collectively singing happy birthday to you.
That's right.
Right.
It's the happy day after
your birthday.
It is. That's why I'm here. This was part of the birthday celebration. It was very gala and unexpected. It is even a landmark birthday, but they know how to do birthdays in Jordan, I've discovered. So,
well,
very nice.
Happy birthday to you. Also, on the hit parade here, we have Alan Chartok. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm just ducky.
Excellent.
It's great. We are doing so well. I tell you, my heart really goes out to everybody who has contributed to the Lockbox Ready, Joe. It's astounding what a great, 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 loyal, understanding, comprehensive audience we have.
So here's the deal. We need to make $71,300 to get to our goal of $500,000. We are going to extend the panel until 11 o'clock this morning. And it is our intention of making that money in that period of time. Why is that so important? Alan is going to tell you why that is so important. It involves a lot of reasons, not the least of which is a massive challenge. Alan, go ahead.
Well, there is a massive challenge that is on the table. $15,000 if we can make this. But that's not really the reason. The real reason is because every one of us understands that with the President of the United States now saying he's going to try to take licenses away from stations that are critical of him. One and one makes two. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to have courage, but our courage comes from you. And if you're there, and if you put something in, whether it's $5 or $1,000, whatever it is, that gives us the kind of support, backbone, and understanding, because without that, we're really nothing. I mean, we are nothing. So the answer is, if everybody gets to a phone right now and says, okay, yeah, I get it. I get that he's going after, Trump is now going after stations that he doesn't like. What, you think we don't understand what that means to us? Now, we have to have the courage to do what's right, and you have to have the courage to do what's right, and we hope you're going to do it right now. 1-800-323-9262, hit 0. 1-800-323-9262, hit 0, and we'll be there. We'll make it. It's astounding. $500,000, and we are so, so close. Got about $70,000 to go, right, Joe?
That's right. And we have many members of our staff who are just sitting there waiting by their computers for a little light to come on and to tell them that you're ready. However, you can also do it online. It's very simple, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. And as soon as you go to our website, you will see in the right-hand corner the word donate. You press that. You're on your way.
And the website, Joe, is?
WAMC.org. WAMC.org. And all you have to do is go there. But you, as Alan said, if you would like to talk to a real live human and a true live WAMC employee, 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. As I said, we are going to talk about the issues today, but we're also going to bang away and try to get this because we really, really need to get this done. By 11 o'clock this morning, we're taking an extra half hour, and we're going to make the most of it and get to that goal. So,
I want to say one more thing, and that is we got a letter yesterday from somebody saying, what do you need this money for? Why are you always asking for money? Well, we don't ask for money. We come to you three times a year on this, and we have had remarkable support. We are talking about one-day million-dollar fund drives when you include the lockbox. That's incredible. We never thought we'd live to see it. We are. So the question was, what do you need the money for? And the answer is, are you kidding?
Yeah, you look at your home budget, and all of those things probably that are on your list are on our list as well. Just a quick clarification, Alan. I was just told that unlike yesterday, you don't need to press zero. We have a new system now to accommodate many more calls. So just call in 1-800-323-9262, and we'll take your call right away. So,
fantastic.
So there you go.
See, that's what your money pays for, right?
That's
there.
Right.
Convenience.
Just makes it easy. Okay. So
one last thing, as Teresa has always said, and I quote her all the time, you know, we're talking about one latte and a muffin, a banana muffin. And you're there at $5. It's right, Teresa.
Exactly right.
Say?
Just
is
you know,
it a banana muffin?
Well, it would be a banana muffin for me, but it's your you know freedom of speech, freedom of choice, freedom of press. It's your choice.
You make me feel really guilty about how much I just spent on that mud wrap.
All right, so you can either give coffee and a muffin, or you can give a mud wrap. That's right. Or you know, it's your choice. This is America. We still, as of today, still have freedom of the press and freedom of speech. So, freedom of choice of which you want to give. But yes, Alan, you know, I think this is what astounded me. You telling me how many people are listening, and if everyone just gave $5, that would be it. And so, you know, think about what $5 is. It's a cup of coffee and a muffin, depending
and
on where you
course,
go buy it.
Of course, if you give $1,000, the question is...
That's a lot of muffins.
Well, it is, and the question is for those who have $1,000, think about this for a second. Is preserving a democracy, which is being taken downhill, all of a sudden the First Amendment doesn't count anymore. We're gonna start taking away licenses. This is the way totalitarianism begins. So what is that worth to fight that?
Right, and what you pay for your cable bill and other things like that.
Well, not to completely shill here, but to celebrate exactly what Alan is talking about for the First Amendment, we still have our First Amendment T-shirts mugs. And for a $100 pledge, you get the T-shirt or a mug. And if a $150 pledge, you get both. So
now what is that? You get a beautiful mug. And you get a T-shirt, and they both say First Amendment.
They have the First Amendment on them.
And
they're beautiful, and they're very, and as well as the WAMC logo. You were always sporting yours when you were here in Albany, Rosemary.
I wear it all the time here, but no one knows what it is. Of course, it's looking like they don't know what it is in America either, so same
right.
thing.
Get them now before the First Amendment's gone, right?
All right.
Congress shall make no law. respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
All right, maybe not the whole thing's on the mug. I don't think so.
No, but it's on the T-shirt.
It is. It's only 45 words long.
Okay, good. Excellent.
And at least one Republican senator has written to the president yesterday. It was Ben Sasse. Is that who it was?
Yeah.
And said to him, when you put your hand on the Bible and you promise to preserve the Constitution, that meant the First Amendment, too. I may be expanding his remark a little bit, but that's what he said.
That's what he said, a Republican senator.
All right.
Except words are cheap.
So what do you mean by that, Rosemary? I mean, I know what you mean by that, but
we're beginning to hear some Republicans talk, but that's all they're doing is talking. There's no evidence that they're moving to discuss with the president the implication of his actions or trying to stop him in any other way.
I don't disagree with you, but isn't it good that we're at least they're starting to talk?
You know, I think you're right, Joe. And Rosemary, my position would be before you run, you got to walk. And they're beginning to walk right now. We see United States senators saying and telling us, sub rosa, that they're all very critical of Trump. We hear people calling him a moron in his cabinet. We hear people saying in his cabinet talking about he wants to get he wants to bring us into World War III. That's pretty tough stuff.
And I also noted that yesterday when Trump signed the executive order to dismantle the healthcare system in this country, only Rand Paul among the senators stood with him. And I think there were one or two members of Congress. But I thought it was very telling that only Rand Paul would stand there with him. He had to surround himself with his cabinet because, you know, all of the healthcare groups are opposed to it.
Let me just real quickly go over what that story is, then I'll go to both Aaron and Rosemary on that. But we were the story, of course, is rather late actually. But the president now has said that he will scrap critical health care subsidies, hitting Obamacare once again. Scrapping subsidies to health insurance companies that help pay out-of-pocket costs of low-income people, the White House said late Thursday. His plans were disclosed hours after the president ordered potentially sweeping changes in the nation's insurance system, including sales of cheaper policies with fewer benefits and fewer protections for consumers. The twin hits to the Affordable Care Act could unravel President Barack Obama's signature domestic achievement, sending insurance premiums soaring and insurance companies fleeing from the health law's online marketplaces. After Republicans failed to repeal the health law in Congress, Mr. Trump appears determined to dismantle it on his own. Aaron, when you look at the economics of this, it doesn't seem to me to make much sense, but help me out.
Well, it makes a lot of sense if you're trying to destroy the Affordable Care Act, and I think that's what he's doing. The only bright side to this or reason for optimism is that the executive order was only 1,100 words, and the specific regulations haven't been fleshed out or talked about in detail. So, you know, the devil will be in the details. But if it goes through as planned, what's going to happen is that the introduction of these low-cost short-term plans, which don't cover maternity care, cancer treatment, prescription drugs, or pre-existing conditions, are really bare-bones plans. So it's a lose-lose situation where people are paying for cheaper plans that offer literally no coverage, and the people who are going to buy those plans are going to be young and healthy individuals. So the people who are left on the federal exchanges are going to tend to be sicker and older, which is going to raise premiums on the federal exchange. And when you couple that with the removal of the subsidies, it's going to be very difficult for people to buy insurance on these exchanges, and you're going to see a sharp rise in the number of uninsured individuals. So this was Trump is instituting the death spiral that he claimed Obamacare was in when he first got into office. And it wasn't, but now it will be if these things go through.
So, Alan, he could have done, I mean, obviously he was hoping that a bigger, larger package would go through that would be more comprehensive. But he could have done this, and he promised to do it, you know, on day one. So why the timing now, do you think?
Well, I think it's frustration. I am sure that Bob Mueller's investigation is much on his mind. He is being criticized by everybody for not getting anything done. For me, it's fine that he's not getting anything done, believe me. But he's very aware that his reputation for being a doer has been destroyed. And I think that's a big part of his motivation to do this. What's really troubling me here, Joe and panel and everybody else, is that it fits in very nicely to this paradigm of if it's totalitarianism. You know, the idea that what you're doing now is, am I allowed to say this, screw the Congress. You know, they tried their best and they couldn't do anything and they couldn't get it done. So now the strong man will do it on his own. And that fits in with a lot of the other things that we're seeing Trump doing right now, from the DACA to everything else.
Just a reminder, we are talking as our roundtable panel. We're also trying to fill our lockbox. We are now on the 67,000 Z's, so it's already been $5,000, so that's great. Thank you.
Wow.
So we got to keep up that pace.
Muffins and coffee coming.
The 90 minutes left, and it's 1-800-323-9262. Just call, and we'll answer and take your call. 1-800-323-9262.
So, Joe, let me get this straight. Are you telling me that we need how much to go to get to that $500,000 mark?
I'm saying we're in the 67,000 Z's. So we are at 432 and 103.
Oh God, this is like math class.
It is. I got to reverse it. See, normally when we're on the fund drive, Rosemary, we have both the count up clock, but then also the count down. Now I just have the count up, so I have to do the the math
backwards
in my head. Yeah,
but we're getting so close. I mean, this is incredible.
That is the point.
This is the whoosh coming at the end of the sink, when a little tiny, you know, stream, when the sink is filled up, and then you just see a little thing going, and then towards the end you go whoosh. That's what we call the whoosh factor here at WAMC.
That's right, and we're getting close, so you can help with the whoosh. WAMC.
Go ahead. I was going to ask for my chance at the healthcare thing.
All right, give the phone number and then take your chance.
Oh my God, I don't remember
1-800.
It anymore.
Go ahead, Teresa.
323-9262.
1-800-323-9262.
Just so you know, Rosemary, 9262 is WAMC on your keypad of your phone.
Oh, right.
Just so you know.
Now you have to sing it, Rosemary.
Cute. Yeah, by the way, yes.
Yeah, the song.
Meanwhile, if you're a longtime WAMCer, most people just come up to you and sing the number to you. So
they do.
All right. Go ahead, Rosemary. Take your crack.
Okay. Well, I mean, a lot of attention, rightly, is being paid to what was inside the executive order. I want to talk for a minute about the executive orders. Trump has already signed, at this point, double the number that Barack Obama signed throughout his entire presidency. And if you will recall, I sure do, Trump and other Republicans were just apoplectic at the idea of an executive order. And they are actually right. It's a very bad way to govern. It allows one president to put in whatever he wants, as we're seeing now. And the next president, if he's a Democrat, for example, could just undo it. That's not a way to govern a country. That's why we're set up with a legislature that's supposed to make the laws. And it seems to me that a lack of bipartisanship has led to governance by fiat. We might as well have a king. In fact, that seems to be what we're moving towards.
And
the other thing that I would say is that one more thing that
sure.
This is not a completely terrible idea that Trump has. It is extremely expensive to buy insurance under Obamacare if you're a young kid who's just starting out, and there's nothing wrong with you, and there probably won't be for a long time. Of course, they want to gamble on getting the cheapest plan. This is one of those things that should have been fixed in the original Obamacare, that Democrats, when they were in control and could have made fixes and tweaks, did not. It was expected that, oh, we'll work this out over time, and now there is no time. So, there's blame to go around on this all the way around, Republicans and Democrats. And I would like us to just sit down and work this out. Why do we have the worst health care? Do you know, I can get better health care here in Jordan and it costs less. That's ridiculous.
So, it's kind of funny to see Republicans who have been, you know, pounding the free trade issue for decades about, you know, being able to produce goods overseas for lower costs, and this is a huge efficiency gain. We should have something like medical tourism, where U.S. citizens are allowed to go to other countries and get medical care for a tenth of the cost, and then have that reimbursed by, you know, their insurance plans or Medicare or Medicaid. So we should have free trade in medical services, but it's one of the most protected industries in the United States, which makes us pay, you know, 500% more than any other country. And it would be very easy. Yep. We wouldn't necessarily have to fly to, like, Thailand or Japan to get health care. We could just go across the border to Canada or Mexico and get just as decent health care for a fraction of the cost. So it's remarkable from an economist's perspective to see Republicans being so anti-free trade and so protectionist when it comes to prescription drug costs, medical treatment, and all of these things. And what we're left with is exactly what Rosemary said, which is this bungled mess of a healthcare plan that's creating so much uncertainty for businesses and individuals. And this is not how you run a country.
Alan, but in order to understand this, and I want to go back to Aaron on this one, our wonderful economist, it really does come down to the insurance company.
Sure, of course.
Now, one of the things that is so remarkable about Trump defending his nonsense is that he says he's sick and tired of the insurance companies. Now he's attacking the very hand that is feeding him.
Yeah, I mean, the vested interest with insurance companies is a big reason why we don't end the American Medical Association too, with their licensing requirements for doctors. Those are the two big impediments to having free trade and lower cost in healthcare services and prescription drugs.
The real quick, Rosemary, I'm just going to jump in. We need $66,000. We're doing very well. The phones are going off the hook. So you can go to WAMC.org if you're having any trouble getting through, or just call back. But if you call 1-800-323-9262, you should get right through one of our wonderful staff will answer the call right away. Go ahead.
You said we're down to 66,000. Is that what you just said?
That is what I said.
That's just fantastic. Remember the reason, you know, the public loudly and clearly protested, or, you know, voice their concerns about not going in the direction that Trump went in yesterday. And the reason that they knew to do that is because of news and information that's provided to them. And then you have, of course, the president using fake news, providing, you know, false descriptions of what he's doing to try to convince people that what he's doing is okay. I think the timing, Alan, is because the Senate needs to move the budget bill with tax provisions in it next week, and they still can't figure out how to pay for it, and he's got to get to the votes he needs. And one of the ways to get to that, as we've been, you know, all along, these changes have nothing to do with health care and everything to do with the savings that they need to pass their tax package, in my opinion.
By the way, as we're going through all this, talking about these important stories and also trying to fill the lockbox, we are taking your letters as well. So panel@WAMC.org. We're going to take a quick break and let the dust settle just for a second, but it's your opportunity to get in your pledge, WAMC.org, WAMC.org, or 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. We're going to 11 o'clock this morning. We have to fill the lockbox, get to the halfway point. We'll do all of that by 11 o'clock with your help. WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Teresa Bourgeois, and Aaron Pasitti, and we welcome you as well. Panel@WAMC.org. We are also trying to fill the lockbox. We need to be at the halfway point by 11 o'clock this morning. That's $500,000, and we have a $15,000 challenge on the table. We want to do that, and we need your help. We need your help desperately. So we are right now, Alan, $64,000 away.
Whoa.
So 64-1. So there you go. So let's go.
So let's get to 60.
Well, let's get to...
No, no, get to
I mean, in the next 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Let's just go for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Let's get it over with.
That is the point. Just get over with it.
Come on.
Now you're on the team, Teresa.
Yeah, just get it over with. Okay, so do whatever you can. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. When I went out during the break, I was told that it was good, but because we added phones, those people weren't. They need calls. So, yeah. And also go
They're
online. You can
them.
Do it. So it's WAMC.org or 1-800-323-9262, the old number that you love and know by heart, 1-800-323-9262. All right. Let's go to some letters. First of all, Tom says, happy birthday, Rosemary. What a treat hearing you today. Making my lockbox contribution really made me feel great about being part of our radio station and meeting the pre-fundraiser challenge. Every donation ranging from muffin through mud pack will mean all the difference.
Thank you.
Nick writes, thank you, Rosemary, for having a middle point of view on this topic today. It's nice to be able to agree on at least one thing. Be well, Rosemary. Mike says, I'm a child of the 60s, and I remember some of the radical groups like the Weathermen, Weather Underground, the SDS, Black Panthers, and a few others. Their mantra was that you had to take down and destroy the system in order to rebuild it. It sure looks to me as if Donald Trump is doing the same. He's trying to take apart everything his predecessor had tried to accomplish, starting with health care and moving on to the environment, the Iran nuclear deal, and NAFTA. He's just trying to tear everything down.
Well, that's the Mercer Bannon
plan. That's what his supporters want. That's what he has a lot of votes for that, to out with the old and shake up the system. That's totally
And yet every time you do that, and you say, okay, let's destroy the whole system and start all over again. You know, the consequences of that can be extraordinarily bad if you look out through history. That's when dictators, Napoleons, and other people get their hands on the system. No, we have to be able to do what Obama was doing, which is to make compromise. He did. He compromised with the insurance companies. That's what this was all about. It was the only way to get them on board. And that's why this has happened.
And it got 23 million more people insured.
I
think, Rosemary, that the problem is that the rhetoric that he used during the campaign, and even the rhetoric that he uses to describe what the health care bill will do, is not what it actually will do. So what those people were cheering for and supporting is not actually what's going to happen. That's the big lie here. And even, you know, build the wall, but build the wall and Mexico's going to pay for it. Okay, then why is there a multi-billion dollar request, you know, tucked away in the budget? What is it, 10 billion or more, 16 billion? I can't even remember what the number is.
Well, if I were Trump supporter, Teresa, what I would tell you is that you think he's the first politician to lie? They all lie. They all say one thing and do another, and at least he's standing up for us and trying.
Well, I want to go on there.
He has gotten before and still has. He still has that support.
Well, but the way he just... I'm sorry, go ahead, Alan.
No, go ahead. Let's get Alan in and then go ahead.
No, I don't have much to say except that, you know, this is not a guy. First of all, I really, seriously, Rosemary, and you know how I respect and love you.
Get ready, Rosemary. Get ready.
However.
I'm brave.
However.
However.
However, I got to say that, you know, they don't all lie. Some of them lie. Some of them lie differently. You know, if you compare a JFK with a Donald Trump, or RFK with a Donald Trump, you know, I have to say that they are not all liars of the same dimension.
Yeah, but
the
don't they
direction.
Lump them all together?
They do lump them all together, and you obviously haven't read Seymour Hersh on the Kennedys. They were terrible, terrible deceptors. And our voters in America have gone in this horrible new direction that we're facing now because of past distrust that was earned by politicians.
But Rosemary, you know, he told the coal miners that he's going to protect their jobs, and there's nothing about his policies that makes that true. He tells people that they're going to have better health care, lower premiums, and more coverage. That's just simply not true.
So if you were a coal miner, would you vote for Hillary Clinton, who said all your jobs are gone, we'll get you something in solar? Or would you vote for Trump, who at least is saying, we're going to keep your jobs and protect you?
But he's not going to be able
to. Aaron?
He's not going to be able to keep their jobs.
I know that they're not. I understand it. I'm just talking about the appeal of Trump And Hillary spoke the truth, and I don't think he's going to do it. I don't see any way he can. Coal is gone because of economic reasons, not because of political reasons. But if you were a coal miner, if you were losing everything, if you didn't trust government to begin with, you begin to see the appeal of a Donald Trump.
Well, I understand why they responded to that, but the problem is it's not true. What he promised them, I understand why they responded to what he promised. But what he promised them is nowhere close to what his actual policies are.
To say nothing of the fact that he is also unleashing the substantial number of people who spew coal stuff into the air to ruin our children and our grandchildren. Come on now. You know, there are consequences for this stuff.
We would have a lot more following and standing with our audience if we were to say, Trump is not telling the truth. Here's what we should do. And that's what's missing. It was missing from Hillary's campaign, and I love her. I think she should be in, and it's still missing. There's no Democrat saying, moving forward, here's what we have to do.
All right. I want to go back to the letters. I also want to remind folks that we have 62. We're down into this. We have $62,000 to go.
And what's the number, Rosemary?
To go.
1-800?
Don't. I can't remember numbers. I just had a massage.
Write it down.
Write it in mud on your table and your
I'm in Jordan. I'm going to make my donation online.
All right. Well, no, not for you. I want you to help us. Yeah, 1-800-323-9262. Thank you, Teresa. All right.
They
back to what they said.
What did Natalie Merchant? Didn't Natalie
Ditto.
Sing it?
Yeah, sing it. Right. It's $62,000. All right, let's go. And we're going till 11 o'clock, so we have an hour and 15 minutes. Steven says, given his actions to undo ACA and Iran nuclear deal, Trump is playing to his base's hatred of Obama. Steve says, fear and loathing and confusion rule in Washington. It's time to heed Nancy Reagan's advice and just say no. Political careers are in jeopardy. Try focusing on your country instead of your wealth. I thought everyone knew Trump was a fool after trying to sit through an episode of The Apprentice. Charlie says, please ask Rosemary to comment on the agreement that's been reached between the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. What are they saying in Jordan?
Oh, yeah. That's big news in Jordan, which is 75% Palestinian. Many, many refugees here. They're hopeful that unity, the end of really civil war between factions and Palestinians, will make a united front against Israel. Israel is much hated here.
Can I ask this UNESCO thing?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Later?
Oh. Yeah. No, I want. Yeah, we're going to talk about that as well. Okay, we're down to, we're in the 61,000s now, so there you go. James writes, I'm so sad about my country. I have Medicare and Empire, but my two adult daughters, depending on New York's reaction, could be greatly affected by Trump's sabotage of Obamacare. My son is okay. He works in China and has good health insurance. I agree with yesterday's comment that Trump's actions on a number of issues constitutes murder. What do we do about it? And this is a question that Alan has asked many times.
No, okay. I said it yesterday. You know, a kid walks into a store with a gun and he's arrested and put in jail for most of his life. And Trump takes away maybe 20, 25 million people health care. You think that's not murder in some cases?
330,000 children in New York State rely on their insurance coverage through the Child Health Plus program, which is the state title for the federal Children's Health Insurance Program, which is now day 13 of it being expired. 330,000.
You know, there's a lot that we can find troubling and chilling, but just that photo of the signing, of just everybody beaming and smiling after taking this away from people who can't afford it. I don't get that.
You know, it's interesting.
I just don't get it.
1/6 of our economy. Jeez. Well, ask a hospital administrator, you know, how are they feeling today.
What were you saying, Alan?
No, I was saying the other thing is that, you know, I've been saying all along, this is all Trump lining his own pockets, and he is now walking that back. He said, no, it's not true. I'm not going to get anything out of the tax plan. But of course he is, because the people at the top are getting the most. Now they're walking. Now he's being very careful to walk that back.
Yeah, so the fact that healthcare is 1/6 of our economy is not a good thing. It should be a lot less of our economy, and the reason it's
such a big part is because people spend so much on it, because there's extremely stringent licensing requirements on doctors, which raises the cost of going to see a doctor because you have to pay for their high salaries, insurance company executives. This is not efficient spending. So when people spend more and more money on healthcare, that takes away from other types of consumption that can drive economic growth. So Trump had this big plan to get the economy growing at 3 to 4%. And his health care plan is going to do the exact opposite. It's going to raise the amount people spend on health care.
We just have to take a quick break,
but go ahead.
I was just going to say very quickly, remember, now Trump is threatening to take licenses away from NBC and others. And I got to tell you, the truth tellers really are going to need all the help they can get. And we need it right now, right this second. I need you to check in and say, we're part of the WAMC family, and we got your back. Joe and Alan and Teresa and Rosemary and Aaron, we're here for you. So dial that number, 1-800-323-9262, and say, okay, I get that. I get the courage part of this.
WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. $61,000 is what we need right now to get that $15,000 challenge and to be halfway in the drive before we begin on Monday morning at 6 a.m. All right, so do your part. As Alan said, let's do it now. $61,000, 1-800-323-9262. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes before we go to a news break. And just to bring you up to date, we are in the 59,000 Z's. 59,000 to go to get our goal. So you're doing great work. We just have to keep it up. And we have another hour and 10 minutes. So let's make the most of that time together and try to bring in that $60,000. All right. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, WAMC.org, and I yield the floor to Teresa Bourgeois.
Well, we were talking earlier about the various health care plans and whether or not one of the big changes that Trump signed in yesterday was to allow for these what they call association plans. And that is for different groups, whether it's a chamber of commerce or whatever, to come together and offer health care to their group. Now, that sounds lovely. And then to do it across state lines. And I've had several people come up to me and say, well, isn't that a great idea? Doesn't that add more competition? And I know, Rosemary, you were saying earlier, isn't it good that young people who are healthy have an option that's not as expensive? Well, it sounds good, but here's the problem. And I'm going to look to Aaron for the economics of this. The problem is that these plans won't have the basic, what they call the essential benefits package. They do not have to offer what's called the essential benefits package, some basic coverage that everybody has to get now. So people will flee to those plans because they'll be a lot cheaper. But then the healthy people will buy those cheaper, more bare bones plans. That leaves the not healthy people in a separate pool. So the costs for the healthy people go way up because all the sick people are in one pool and the healthy people in another. And then if you're a healthy person and you have the bare bones package, and you get sick, you get in a car crash, something happens to you, then you don't have the coverage you need. And that's when you have the medical bankruptcies that we saw pre-Obamacare and so on and so forth. But Aaron, want to talk about the economics of these?
Yeah, so without trying to bore people too much, the larger, with any insurance policy, the larger the pool, the lower the cost for everyone. And that means, you know, young, healthy people pay a little bit more so that, you know, sicker, older people can pay a little bit less. And this is what Kenneth Arrow won a Nobel Prize for back in the 1960s in economics, was looking at how, among other things, how healthcare markets work. So, you know, the simple solution is, you know, single payer, where everybody's under the same pool. It's the same thing we do with car insurance. There's not separate pools for separate groups, because otherwise you would have some people paying rates so high that they couldn't afford insurance and other people paying super low rates. The way you solve that is by bundling everybody into the same pool. So, yeah, I mean, this is disastrous, especially for older, sicker people. And I wouldn't be surprised if they constitute a large percentage of Trump's
base.
And this will have ripple effects well beyond people who are just in the under the Affordable Care Act. This is going to distort the entire markets. And then you add on the fact that they are not going to pay the subsidies anymore, that they also announced, that's a bombshell, that they're not going to pay the subsidies that were built into the Affordable Care Act. And it will just unravel the healthcare system.
Yeah. And, the one irony here is, Rand Paul and Donald Trump are talking about, this is great because now insurance plans can span state lines. What I said before is, why stop at state lines? Why not let it span national borders so that we actually have real free trade and a real deregulated insurance market? But that threatens the domestic insurance companies' profits, as well as doctor salaries and medical equipment makers and everybody. So it's extremely hypocritical to hear them talk about how wonderful it is that it crosses state lines without talking about some type of international free trade in medical care.
And it signs away, what he did yesterday was sign away any protections for people with pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
And so you have to wonder what people like Congressman Faso, I go back to that moment. There's a video. He's outside. A constituent who has a brain tumor comes up to him and passionately says, promise me that you will protect my health care. And, that finally I had this pre-existing condition. I struggled for years. But finally, once the Affordable Care Act passed, I had peace of mind that even though I still had a brain tumor, I knew that the financial aspects of it were taken care of. And now I'm worried that will go away. And Congressman John Faso said, I promise we'll protect you. Well, those protections were signed away yesterday.
A quick thing to our wonderful engineer, Rob Chacon. If you could just have somebody look in, our internet seems to be down. So if we could bring that up, that would be awesome. At least with wireless, I'm not getting service. So I don't know how much money we've made. But
well, then surprise Joe.
That's right.
Send more so when he comes back on, he's so surprised.
So WAMC.org and 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. Alan?
Well, there is no question that we're getting closer and closer. And I don't know who's mucking around with our internet operation. I'm just teasing, of course, but the fact of the matter is, we are getting incredibly close to ending this thing. We got a letter, Joe. I hope you can read this letter. You can't.
I can't read anything right now.
Okay. Well, we got a letter.
I'm offline.
We got a letter from somebody who said that basically we're really not fooling anybody. We're putting an extra day on the fund drive. Well, we're not, because if we're talking to Rosemary and we're talking to Teresa and we're talking to Aaron and talking about all the major issues of the day, this is a good way of doing it. And we are not taking out whole days to do just fund drive. So please, I'm going to look this fellow up because I want to know what his contribution has been, but that's not the point here. Ouch. But that's not the point.
The pettiness is in the point.
We have a future with the Trump administration.
Nor am I going to criticize every troll who calls in. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue and we'll find out where we are. And I'm sure I'll have internet by then, and all will be good.
I'll ask Rosemary about UNESCO.
Oh, good. And we have another hour. We have another hour to make like $59,000. I'm guessing. So we'll see.
It's $1,000 a minute.
Oh, it just came on. Oh, Rob, you're a miracle worker. Thank you. So great. So now all I have to do is subtraction. Rosemary, this is your favorite part of the show.
yes, the math.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
Just
read it loud so we all can hear.
$57,000. Mm-hmm. Look, I only had to take my shoes off once. $57,000 is what we need. $57,000. All right, let's take a break. I'm sure we'll do that while everyone's listening to Ray's newscast. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. We are pleased to have you with us. Panel at WAMC.org if you'd like to get in on the conversation. We are talking about issues of the day. We have Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Aaron Pasitti, and Teresa Bourgeois. But we also are talking about filling our lockbox, a very important thing that we need to do by 11 o'clock this morning. We have about 53 minutes to do it in. And we need you. WAMC.org. We, just as we were coming on the air, we need, we're in the 55,000s to go to get to the halfway point in the drive. So we can do it. That means that we made over 20 in an hour, less than an hour. So let's do that again.
Now, let's remember that when we start on Monday morning, there's still another $500,000 to go. And
you are such a glass half full and empty person.
No, I was going to point out that in the last two drives, because we made the lockbox,
yes,
we were able to do it in one day.
That's
now,
right.
Look, there are the wonderful people who support WAMC, and then there are the trolls. I'm not going to mince words about this. One guy, he's got my goat.
Tell him to give your goat back.
No, yeah. No, listen to this. This is a good one.
He writes five times a day. Why should I give money to this station? Why should my tax dollars, 5%, by the way, of the total budget, why should my tax dollars go to this? And yet he listens to every word. He writes five times a day.
So economists call those people free riders.
You enjoy
the benefits of a public good without paying the cost. And there are nothing economists hate more than free riders. So don't free ride. Contribute.
There's another word, free
Pony
loaders.
Up.
Yeah, free loaders.
Well, there's free loaders.
Sure. Okay, let's go.
But you love getting his letters, though.
Five times a day.
We got some. Let's go to some other letters. So here we go. Daisy writes, I would argue with Rosemary that it isn't about availability of cheaper plans, but about absolutely everyone being in the health insurance market. Insurance, if that's the way we go, should be mandatory, and the insurance company should be forced to offer certain basic plans. Then we would see costs come down. Rosemary.
Did I argue that? I think it's actually Teresa she wants to argue with.
She and I are arguing against your point. You had said that these cheaper plans for healthy young people are better, and I was saying
I didn't say they were better. I would say that they have caused the problem that Trump is trying to solve, albeit badly, as he does everything, which is that I understand the need. I had three kids. I understand the need for paying for maternity, for example, but if I were 26 years old, I would not want to pay a plan that had to help cover those costs. Obamacare did not handle the situation well, and that is why there's left this opening. And I also get the whole thing about, you know, not going across state lines and all, too. But on the face of it, what he did is going to appeal to a lot of people. Rand Paul is one of them, and that's why he was standing in that, you know, that grinning, ridiculous thing where he signed the executive order.
But I guess I sorry, Alan, go.
No, I was just going to say, so are you opposed, Rosemary, to Social Security, where the young people are paying in? Well, okay.
The same idea. I am not, because they will definitely get that out. But when you're a young person and you don't have a lot of money anyway, and you don't even know if you want kids, you hate kids at that point, paying high and increasing premiums to cover other people is extremely unattractive.
We've
done nothing to make it attractive.
But there's an easy answer here, and it's called single payer, and we all know it. We should be paying
I
off.
Go
the,
with that.
We should not be paying off the insurance companies in order to make this thing go. They had Obama by the throat. There's no two ways about it. That's what they did. And in order to get something, he had to make a serious compromise, which flawed the whole deal. I'm sorry. Over to you, Teresa.
I think, Rosemary, I just disagree with you on this. I think that you have to help educate young people about why it's important that they have coverage. And we're all going to pay, you know, part of what we're paying for is something we're not going to use, but that's part of pooling risk. And a young person, they may be young and healthy today, but they're one, you know, lymphoma diagnosis, one car accident away, one, you know, this, think about all the things that can happen that can come up at this, and they think that they don't need it.
It's easy for me at my advanced age to think of that. But when I was 40 years younger than I was now, trying to feed a baby and working full time and just barely making the rent, paying for health insurance that I never used seemed a waste. And we have not done maybe the education. I paid for car insurance. I never was in an accident, but I paid for that gladly because I could see the good coming out of it, and also because the payments were stable. Health insurance is going up every single year.
But there are
faults in Obamacare. We just can't argue otherwise.
Right, but that's not one of them, though. But everybody agreed that there are faults and it needed to be fixed. You just couldn't get the Republicans at the table, and there are a group of Republicans on the House and Senate side that did agree to go to the table, and they were making progress, and this undermines that. But you have to have risk pools. You have the problem with what he did yesterday is, you know, and Aaron, you're the economist. You know, he totally distorted the risk pools, and he took away certainty.
Right. So you have essentially a two-tier system, an insurance pool that covers older sick people where costs are exceptionally high, and he is taking away the subsidies to assist in buying those plans. And then you have these bare bones plans, which really don't cover anything. So it seems like young, healthy people are getting a bargain. Oh, this is a cheap plan. I'm young. I'm healthy. I'm never going to use it. And I could get hit by a bus when I cross Central Avenue. And if I had one of those bare bones plans, I'd probably go bankrupt. So people always underestimate risk.
We're arguing. We're saying the same things over and over again. We've said all that. And I think everybody knows that. But the truth is, with the Democrats, no one has come up with something that's more attractive than Obamacare.
Bernie Sanders has. Payer.
I have. Bernie Sanders has.
Well, the single payer thing is great, but Bernie hasn't told us how to do it.
How to pay for it. Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I think what you needed to do is incrementally move toward a more
Medicare for all.
But the system can't take that all at once. You have to do it incrementally. And that's what Democrats were trying to do, is incrementally shift the system. But also, none of what Trump is doing is attacking the underlying increase in costs. And one of the ways to do that is you have to go after pharmaceuticals. And
that's the free trade in medical, in the medical industry. You can buy, you know, we can buy clothes made in Honduras and in China, and we can buy electric gadgets that are made in South Korea and all over the world. But we can't buy pharmaceuticals from other countries. That is so hypocritical of Republicans who claim to be pro-free market. It's just preposterous.
All right. We need your help right now. We are marching towards trying to get to our goal of halfway in the fund drive. We need $54,000. And actually, we need 540 people at $100 each, and we would be done. But
and I bet there are more than 540 people listening right now.
Are you kidding? Of course, there are 10,000 people listening right now. There's no two ways about it.
So we need you. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. Don't forget, you can get the First Amendment T-shirt. You can get the First Amendment mug.
What about
Harry Belafonte? Harry Belafonte.
The Harry Belafonte tickets. We have a pair of those tickets for $100.
And they're going fast.
They are. What
and
else
don't
are...
be calling me up later on saying, "Can you get me into this?" And
don't
the
call
answer
out.
Is no. Don't be calling me up.
What about the Pigs Fly socks?
Oh yeah, and you get the socks. Oh, we have to send you those, Rosemary. We got WAMC socks. We've got WAMC socks.
Okay, I'm putting in my pledge today. Please save me a pair. I'll pick them up in December at Christmas, okay?
Excellent.
Am I allowed to go back and fight with Rosemary, or to at least to ask her one question, because she made this analogy?
I feel that we could make at least $5,000 just for that.
Only if you include Fire Island in the process.
Can I have a say in this?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how we get the other 10. Go ahead.
She made an analogy between, or a comparison anyway, between driving insurance, which she understood why it was important, and health insurance, which young people don't understand about. But as Teresa said so brilliantly just a little while ago, you know, when we're talking about one brain tumor away, which will wipe you and your family and everybody out, why don't young people understand that, Rosemary?
Oh, come on. It's human nature. Did you think about brain tumors when you were 26 years old?
Well,
people go skiing when they're 26.
Well,
they don't think about breaking their leg, and there's a lot more possibility of that. And what else? You know, if you had a brain tumor, your mother and father would help you out, or your cousins or
I'm
your
sorry.
Uncles. Everybody
You're
has
kidding.
Networks.
No.
They never,
no.
they do not think of insurance as something they must have. And you can say no, 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 and shake your head, but that is the reality, and
no,
that is
no,
why
no.
this plan is going to
but
be popular.
So if I can chime in here, the Richard Thaler, who won the Nobel Prize in Economics this year, won it for his work on showing
irrational
how people are
thinking.
Entirely irrational. And
Yep.
I agree with Rosemary. Ah! This is how young people think. It's like, I don't need insurance. I'm young and healthy.
Yep.
But the problem is when you think that way and then you actually do need it, that raises the costs for everyone's insurance.
Of course.
So
the
point is that you need policies that are
Trump.
And so you need policies that are somewhat paternalistic to say, listen, we know this is how you think, so we're going to protect
Correct.
You from yourself.
I completely disagree. I think that at 20, I completely disagree. I think at 26 years of age, Alan definitely thought he was going to have a brain tumor.
I had a brain tumor. No question about it.
Joe was looking at me so menacingly when I was saying that. I'm like, man, now he's going to lay into me.
And okay, everybody, good. And by the way, everybody has understood that when we do Medical Monday on WAMC every week, the doctors always say to David,
Jim Lavoulis.
Jim Lavoulis, our producer, they always say, how does he know, you know, how does he know so much about this? And Lavula shakes his head and said he's had all those diseases.
Yeah, the Shartak syndrome.
Yeah,
well, hypochondriac.
School of hypochondriacal studies.
How do you spell hypochondriacal studies? That's a great word.
Let's go to the letters. Virginia writes, with all the natural disasters that have hit the U.S. and are ongoing, it seems crazy to me to reduce taxes right now. The cost of these disasters is enormous and will mean borrowing more money. What's the point, Aaron? What's the point?
The point is to transfer a couple trillion dollars of income from middle-class families to millionaires and billionaires.
This one's for Rosemary. Rosemary, you said we may as well have a king. Remember when the right called Obama a king?
Yeah, yes. I do. And for some of the same characteristics that Trump used to criticize and now has adopted with a flourish, including the fiats from the Oval Office.
Right. And, you know, what's fascinating to me on this executive order is we began the week with his executive order on the environmental issues.
Yeah, the climate repeal.
And the basis for that was because the Obama administration had usurped its authority and not let Congress do its job. And it was up to the, you know, so they had to do it because they had usurped their authority and not followed congressional action.
I'd like to
and
make
so
two points.
And so he ends the week doing exactly the opposite on health care. Sorry.
Go ahead, Alan.
Another I want to tell you another king reference since I'm living in a kingdom now.
And that's the idolatrous adoration of Trump,
you know, with his cabinet members and all speaking up about what a final guy is and how honored they are to work with him. It sounds a lot like the king here.
Alan, I wanted
to mention the king also, but in this case, quite appropriately, the queen. The queen just said there will be no coach ride in the Golden Coach to Buckingham Palace when Trump arrives. What a queen, don't you think?
Good. Yeah.
And then there was something else I wanted to say, which really may obviate almost everything that we're talking about today. There was a piece, I don't know how many other people read the New York Times in the middle of the night or other stuff, but there is a piece that's going around about a professor who is saying that the great volcano of all times in America is about to occur, and that it will wipe out humanity as we all know it. Has anybody else seen that this morning?
I did not.
No.
Yeah, and it has to do with Old Faithful, and you know that they're sitting on a volcanic basin there, and it's going to go. Now, I haven't heard much about it, but it's prominently being all over.
Is it going to happen before the fund drive?
Well, that's an interesting question, and an important question.
All right, so...
So what about the Martin Luther King, as we're doing King quotes?
Go ahead.
Nothing in the world is more dangerous than a sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity.
Ooh.
There we go. All right. Wasn't aimed at anyone on the panel, by the way.
No.
Let me go to some more letters. By the way, Rob, when do I need to take a break? Now? Okay. All right, very good.
Always have to. Hey, Joe, where are we in this thing?
We are in the 51,000s, Alan.
No. That's so close. It's unbelievable.
Yep. Okay, 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. All right.
What about those letters?
John says, happy birthday, Rosemary.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Says, I'm thankful for Rosemary today. I've been waiting for a month for a moderating viewpoint. Can the panel help explain how the government can spend $9 billion a year to pad the insurance companies without a congressional appropriation? Was this legal? Who wants to tackle that?
Aaron.
You know, I don't know if it's legal. I know that the Trump administration claimed that the subsidies were illegal because, you know, Congress has the, you know, it has to go through Congress. So I honestly don't know whether it's legal or not.
So we have to go through Congress when it's convenient, and we don't have to go through Congress when it's convenient.
So far, the courts have not said it's illegal. And
right, I was going to say,
action.
I was going to say
the courts have not said it's illegal, and they've been making the payments up until they said yesterday they're not going to.
The Republican-leaning Supreme Court upheld the legality of the Affordable Care Act, so I don't know what the Trump administration's talking about the legality.
So they're going to spend, you know, $10-16 billion on a wall that he promised that Mexico will pay for, as opposed to spending this money to stabilize, to provide insurance for those who can't afford it. So go ahead.
All right. Crystal says, hello, panel. Subsidies for coal firing plants, but not for health care. Once again, up is down and down is sideways.
Exactly.
Eric says, why does it require courage to contribute to WAMC? Does WAMC reveal the identities of donors to the government? Sorry, but as a parent and provider, I cannot exhibit this kind of bravery. However, I wish you good luck.
Keep on listening, Eric.
All right.
I didn't understand that one, Eric, but that's okay.
I'll explain it during the break. Okay, so we're going to take a break.
But thank you for writing.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue. We'll have our last hurrah, our last push as we try to get to the get our last $50,000.
How long is this break?
You have enough time to do what you need to do.
Okay.
Take Murray. How's Murray doing?
Whatever he needs to do, he can do it in the break. We'll take that break. And we'll be back. Keep calling. WAMC.org is the web address, but 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. We have $50,000 to go. We need your help. 1-800-323-9262. Good morning. Welcome back to the last bit of our extended fun drive panel segment this morning, and we are thrilled to have you with us. We're going to 11 o'clock this morning, extending the panel, talking about the issues. We have a great panel. I'll reintroduce them to you in just a second. A reminder, we're also looking to fill that lockbox. We have $15,000. I ate a pretzel during the break. That was bad.
Always a mistake.
$15,000 on the table, and
so
we need to
get to
that.
You need a coffee and a muffin.
That's right. But I gave my $5.
You gave your $5, so no coffee and a muffin.
So we are. You want to know where we're at? We are at $47,000 to go.
Wow, that's fantastic.
That is. It's really good.
In a half an hour, we can do that. We can do
better
that.
Better for 43.
Very, very close. Everybody who wants to have this, we've been getting a lot of letters, by the way, talking about how wonderful the panel is and how important it is to them. There are a couple of trolls, but for the most part, it's been overwhelmingly positive about what people get here. Plus, the few letters we're getting from people who write all day long and say, I'll never give you a dime. Okay, go away. Go away. Turn it off. That's what the button's for. Anyway, can I read one letter, Joe?
Absolutely.
Even the FCC, says Molly, which sets broadcast rules for communication companies in the U.S., does not license TV or radio networks such as CBS, NBC, AC, or Fox. Shocked. I love that word. Shocked that Alan doesn't know this. I would rather think he just doesn't know instead of taking Trump's word for it, and that's from Molly. Molly, dear, let me just say this to you right now. For 3 days, I have been talking about how NBC owns stations in the country, and that is what is going on, and it could not, and they could not take away they could not tell NPR that they can't exist, or they can't find NPR, and they can't find NBC. But I sure as heck have been mentioning again and again and again, this is all about the stations that NBC, the network, owns. Okay, Molly?
Oh, yeah, and we did mention that, and you went into great detail on that yesterday. But also, the other thing we mentioned is that the markets that they do own the stations in are major markets. It's Los Angeles, it's Chicago, it's New York. And if they are serious, I don't know whether he is or not, but if they are serious, that knocks out a giant share of who they are. And I can tell you they're not going to be spending the money in the programming that they have and doing what they're doing if they're not in the major markets in this country.
And we saw this during Watergate. You know, this isn't a theory. This actually happened during Watergate, right, yeah, Alan?
It did. There was Tricky doing the same thing, same kind of thing.
And Rosemary, you've talked about the Sinclair issue, right?
Yes, don't watch them. Do not watch that station. And they're buying up new stations, too. They're in the market, and they're spreading, and they're propagandists. It's awful.
So for people who don't know, what it, you want to tell the story?
Well, it's a TV chain. They own a local station in Albany, and they are extremely, boy, right-wing, I guess is one way to say it. When they buy local stations, they chop out all the local color, all the people who actually are there and know things, and instead put in their own canned material, which usually is not local at all, but of national importance, and it's the Trump line. So,
and Martin Luther King
stuff.
Said, "The ultimate tragedy is not the oppression and cruelty by the bad people, but the silence over that by the good people."
All right. We want to get the money. Number one, so we need $47,768 to go. That's important. However, let me just go to a couple of other issues while we have our last call here on our last 22 minutes or so, and we go to. I want to go to the UNESCO story. We haven't we talked around it, but we didn't talk about it. U.S. will withdraw from UNESCO, citing its anti-Israel bias. Rosemary, I'll begin with you, and then we'll go around the group.
Okay. I don't think it's a terrible thing to leave UNESCO, but Trump is doing it for the wrong reason. He's leaving because he says, and Israel also says they'll leave too, because they're anti-Israel. And the reason for this is that UNESCO has named sites in Palestine, including the city of Hebron, which I've been to and concur with their ruling, World Heritage Sites. This is somehow negative to Israel. What it is negative to the idea that Palestine should be considered as an equal. That's not a good reason to leave UNESCO. What is a good reason to leave is that UNESCO has been extremely biased, it is politically biased, in favor of Azerbaijan, a country that we don't hear about very much in the United States, but it's a major, at least citizens don't, it's a major oil power, and we are very friendly with them, and we ought not to be. They are a hideous dictatorship. The organization I work with, the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, has done a story just this past week on how they've spent $3 billion that should have gone to citizens. They've spent to give money to politicians around Europe to say nice things about Azerbaijan. One of those is the husband of the director of UNESCO, a woman who's now leaving, but she's been a big, big supporter of Azerbaijan, including a medal to the First Lady, who's involved in these scams of the presidency, the corrupt scams, and that she put on a art show about Azerbaijan, land of tolerance. One of my very good friends and colleagues spent months in jail. She was actually sentenced to 7 years for writing about corruption in the First Family. There are many, many good reasons to leave UNESCO. Being anti-Israel is not one of them.
So
that's my rant.
It's an interesting rant. Obviously, there will be people who disagree with you in our audience, and that's what makes this program so good.
I'd be interested if any of the listeners have any involvement with UNESCO or have any been involved in any of their projects or programs. So for those who don't know, it's the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, and it's designed to provide cross-cultural experiences, programs. Do you want to speak to it?
No.
So there have been problems. I think the U.S. is, what, $54 million in arrears to UNESCO?
Yeah, we stopped paying in 2011 for political reasons. Ronald Reagan pulled out of it for a while, and then you come back. Even the pullout that Trump has put into place is not effective until the end of next year.
But the question is, why did they announce it this week, right in the middle of the elections? And one of the questions is that there was a tie vote in the elections for who's going to lead. And it's a tie between someone from France and someone from Qatar. And as people right. know, there's a lot of political issues now going on in Qatar, and there might have been some concern. So the U.S. wanted to, without voting, weigh in try to tip the scales there.
You are talking about the election for the new director of UNESCO.
For the new director of UNESCO. Yeah, I'm sorry, for the new director of UNESCO. So that possibly this announcement came this week to have some influence over who would lead it. But I think the philosophy of UNESCO and the stated purpose is certainly an important purpose, and it's a way of quiet diplomacy, and I think that all of us should support the idea of quiet diplomacy. So, yet another entity where the theory is good, and could you get it to stay focused on its original purpose?
Joe?
But instead, we're walking away.
Go ahead, Alan.
Joe, we have gotten a letter. Thank you for such insightful, needed open dialogue. I wish I could donate more, but like you said, every dollar counts. And by the way, I meant it, folks. I will be pledging under 20, but I need to support you. And this is in memory of my 27-year-old daughter who introduced me to you. Thank you. I like that letter an awful lot.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
That is. Absolutely. All right. We're going to, let me see. I want to move on to a couple of other topics on our time left. Just a quick reminder that we need your help. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. Also, to fill the lockbox, we are, if we make $6,908, we're at 40 to go in the entire thing.
Wow. Should we say that again one more time?
So we need 46. Thousand, right? So I was just saying, if we made $6,908 in the next 15 minutes, we would have, as we leave here, we would have had a 40, well, more than that, but 40-something thousand-dollar morning, and we would have, and we'll be just with that to go today, tomorrow, Sunday, and be ready for Monday morning.
And remember that we have incredible challenges on the table. We have a $5,000 challenge from our wonderful friend Emily Fisher, who has been to the Berkshires and to our area, basically a saint, because Simon's Rock College owes her so much for what she's done for them, and we do, because she's always been there for us. And she said, okay, if you can make this, I'll give you $5,000. Think about what a $5,000 is. And then, on top of that, our very good friend in Chatham, I think by now an awful lot of people know who she is. came up with $10,000 if we can do this. Another saint. And all I can say is that's $15,000 if we can do it. It gives us a tremendous amount of incentive. Now, speaking of incentives, you can have the socks. You can have the Harry Belafonte tickets for $150 for the pair. It's going to be something that will be talked about for many years to come. And if you miss it, you're missing something real important. At the Egg. What's the date on that, Joe?
November 11th.
Uh-huh. And then, in addition, there is all the stuff. All the stuff.
Go
we
ahead.
Could. I'm sorry. Did I say something?
No, I'm checking on that date. I think that's the date, but I'm just checking it.
But in any case, this is really what we are all in together. We have this program. Even the trolls who write 5 and 6 times a day. One guy actually wrote to me yesterday and said, I am a troll. Well, if that's the way you're thinking about yourself, that's just fine. But the fact of the matter is we have made this station together, all of us. The trolls, the non-trolls, the great people, and who think positively about themselves. This is a time to really make this happen.
It is. You're absolutely right, Alan. It's November 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the Egg in Albany for Harry Belafonte, the evening with Harry Belafonte and Alan Chartok in conversation on the 11th of November at 7:30, $150 for a pair of tickets there. We welcome you to help us out and get to that. We're down to we need about $4,800 right now, and that would bring us up to 40 to go in the entire lockbox and to get our challenge. We only have about 14 minutes left. WAMC.org, WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. We're going to take a quick break. Aaron, I know you have to run, but thank you very much for being with us this morning. Have a great weekend, and hopefully we'll see you Friday. We'll be all done, and you'll be back with us.
I'll be here.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll be right back right after this. All right, last call. We only have 12 minutes left, and we are trying to fill the lockbox. $5,000 would get us to the point where we would be at just 40 to go and set us up in good shape, I think, for the weekend. We would still have the rest of today, tomorrow, and Sunday to make that 40 and to be ready to go on Monday morning with half the goal that we need so we can raise the other half on the air.
So President Trump is talking to values voters right now. So the question is, you know, what does he value? What do you value? What do we all value?
Well, that's right. Alan?
Well, it is a matter, as Teresa has always said correctly, it is a matter of values. It's a matter of what we think about our country. Do we think we're being hauled into a totalitarian structure? I do, by the way. Do we think that somebody who is without contemporary sociological decent values is the president of the United States right now, or do we approve of what he says? You know, to me, this is one of the scariest times I've ever seen in my entire life. It really is, and that's why we need this radio station so badly, and that's why I'm hoping that everybody just does something right now for no other reason than because it's right. And that's what we try to teach our children and our grandchildren.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and we welcome you to help out. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. So it was Rosemary's birthday, and I wrote her, I texted her, and I said, happy birthday. And she wrote me back, and I said that I was telling her that we missed her. And she said, oh, my God, you know what it's like for me to be in Jordan and not be able to talk about Harvey Weinstein. So
go.
We have 10 minutes left, Rosemary. I do not want to deprive you on your birthday of such
such a gift. Great, my rant. Well, I have many thoughts on this. One is, why is he being treated this way, which, believe me, I think he deserves. And the president of the United States is not. He's
exactly
the same. They are the same. So that's number one. Number two is I'm very angry at all the women who didn't stand up. I get that if you're a starlet and you don't know what's going on, you can't be expected, or if you're afraid your career is going to be wrecked. But I'm listening to people like Gwyneth Paltrow and Mira Scorvino and Angelina Jolie. These are established women. Why did they not speak up? Why did this go on for so long? We have to stop enabling these guys. There are predators in all kinds of businesses and fields. And women, we have to just stop this baloney about, you know, they'll think badly of me, they won't believe me. You have to speak out. So I think that I can't believe that it went on for as long as it did. It's quite chilling. We now have, what, two investigations are underway into why police didn't act, why prosecutors didn't do anything. I hope that this is one of those turning points, like Anita Hill, when she spoke about sexual harassment on the job. Suddenly women were saying, yeah, hey, that happened to me, and it stopped a bit. And I hope this is the next step.
But as
okay,
you said,
I'm done.
Rosemary, but as you say, Rosemary, you know, Donald Trump got elected president with everyone seeing the Access Hollywood tape and hearing the woman after woman after woman come forward about the cases that they had filed against him. And people, this Harvey Weinstein thing was an open secret. And the thing that fascinates me is not just the, you know, the women who didn't say anything, but the staff people who enabled him.
Who helped.
The staff people who enabled him. And that, you know, that doesn't take the blame off of him. His behavior is abhorrent. And Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, when she didn't say anything, she was 22 years old and just getting into the business as opposed to
now. I didn't say she had to say it when she's 22. She's not 22 now, and she is a power.
Right. Well, she's had power for a long time.
She didn't say it after. She could have said it at the Oscars when she was getting the Oscar for Shakespeare in Love, which he directed.
Right.
But that might have had an effect.
But reportedly, she did tell Brad Pitt, who she was dating at the time, and he went and had words with Harvey Weinstein. But, so, I mean, I don't know anything about the entertainment industry, and I was aware of him as being a real bad actor, so, you know.
Well, they've been making, I mean, you know, quote-unquote jokes about it for...
Right.
For years.
But this is going on. I mean, O'Reilly, Bill Clinton, it is not a Democratic Republican thing or liberal conservative. It's a male thing, and it's got to end. And women have to play a part in that.
And when you listen to the tape that if you go to the New Yorker, there's this horrendous,
chilling tape.
But the other thing that when you listen to it, you know, he is a person who appeared to be so powerful. But if you listen, what a weak, groveling, sick person he actually was. And no, he exposes how weak and pathetic he was. But women have to understand
that
they can stand
up. I have to blame somebody else, and that is the press. One of the ways that this weak bully got his way was to badmouth. He could ruin careers. And suddenly, if you were on his bad side, there were articles appearing in UN newspapers. Okay, who's to blame for that?
You know, as I'm listening to this, I'm a little confused because I was thinking, who are they talking about? Are they talking about Weinstein or are they talking about Trump?
Right, right. Well, and then you have Kellyanne Conway attacking Hillary Clinton. And what is Kellyanne Conway standing? She's been an enabler for a long time of Trump. You know, it's just, and even before that,
actually, I think that's a really interesting thing. The wives of the predators. I mean, I'm still angry at Camille Cosby, who's like an intelligent woman and a role model, and Hillary Clinton, and this, what's her name, the designer, the young woman who married.
Donna Karen?
The designer who's married to Harvey Weinstein.
Georgiana.
With him and, whatever.
She's out of there.
But they all did and now she's leaving. But, you know, really, everybody knew, even us in Albany, New York, knew that he was a pig, and she didn't, and she's living with him, and she didn't do anything. Maybe, I don't want to blame the women, okay, so don't say the, you know, blame the victim letters. I don't need to see that. But I think we all have to look at this. That's why I think this is a one of those societal shakeups. The case has been fascinating to people, and maybe the value of it is that we all have to look at our roles.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're right, Rosemary, certainly right. But I was watching CNN, I guess, and he was getting into a SUV driven by somebody else, getting into the back seat. And the reporter threw him a question and said, you know, what do you think about all of this? He says, I'm not happy. He said, we all make mistakes. You know, we all make mistakes. You know, it's as if this is this false equivalency, which is this guy, as you say, a pig. We are comparing what he did with what somebody else may have done. I mean, it's extraordinary.
But I think Jen from the Berkshire Eagle.
Jen Smith.
Mm-hmm. She had a very good phrase the other day in describing it as the bystander mentality, and that we really have to focus on certainly his behavior, but also the behavior of the bystanders.
Jane Fonda was interesting. She, of course, is a powerful woman in the business, and she said she didn't do anything. She found out about it a year ago. She goes, I'm old, and he was into young people. But one of the victims, Roseanne Arquette, told Jane Fonda about it, and she feels guilty that she didn't act on it. She said, you know, it didn't happen to me. I felt like it wasn't my business. But she's now saying, yes, it's all of our business, and I think that's what has to come out of this.
Are you surprised, and we're just about out of time, so I'm kind of throwing a bomb here, but are you surprised? Let's face it, this isn't the only guy in Hollywood doing this. Are you surprised other names aren't coming out?
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
I think a lot of people's name has been dirtied.
Who's?
But
that's because he.
But because of Weinstein, right? I mean, because of that connection. Yeah.
And he said it was terrible, and then people came forward and said his behavior wasn't great either.
All right, we are out of time, but I want to bring you up to date on that. As I am crunching the numbers here real quick, I just want to thank Rosemary.
Happy birthday, Rosemary.
For being with us. Rosemary,
thank you.
Happy
Teresa.
Birthday, and so nice to hear your voice. And we will hear you on the other side when we are done with the fun drive. We'll have you back, of course. Thank you. Teresa, thank you very much for being here and for coming in today and helping us do this.
Delighted. Thank you to all the wonderful listeners.
And here we go, Alan. As soon as I press, see, I'm still doing subtraction.
Yeah,
Rosemary, and I'm really.
Of course, you're still doing it.
And I'm really crappy at it. So
I'm bringing you a calculator.
Oh,
he has
one.
A calculator. That's why I'm just watching him.
All right, so we are to get to our goal to go to make the $15,000 in challenges. We have today, tomorrow, and Sunday to do this. We have $38,762, which
fantastic.
Means
fantastic. And then we get $15,000 more. If we can make it.
Go ahead.
Joe, one more thing I want to say. You've been thanking everybody for what they do. We all thank you, Joe, for holding this together, for bringing us all together, and for making this happen. And we thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Right back to you, sir. And it's been a lot of fun. $42,000 this morning.
You're
so
awesome,
there you go. Well, awesome to everybody. Thank you very much for everybody doing everything. So $38,000 to go. Keep that. We're going to go back to regular programming. But thank you very much. Keep it coming. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. Alan, we'll see you bright and early on Monday morning.
Not if I see you first.
Excellent. Teresa, have a great weekend. And go enjoy the mud wrap.
Actually, the sun is setting over the Dead Sea right now. I have to go look at it.
And take enjoy. A float. Take a float. It's unbelievable when you get in there.
All right. Love to you all. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.